Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, and welcome to Week Zero. Punch me in the face, Dalton.
Yeah, I don't really have a response to that.
Can't believe I said that. Apparently, that's a thing now. Week Zero. Probably some college football public relations person came up with that.
I didn't see that until I think John Luke said something on Twitter about it the other day.
First time I saw it, yeah.
I heard somebody say it maybe yesterday, and I was just, go ahead and end that.
Yeah, and College Game Day is doing something from Disney World. They're calling it Week Zero. That's not, that's numerically, that's just incorrect.
It's Jamboree Week.
That's what it is here. Jamboree Week for high school football. So that means the season is almost here. Week one is almost here.
We have 8 days till the actual season starts.
Yes, that's right. The 22nd of August with Tishomingo County and Tupelo Christian kicking things off on that Thursday. So getting pumped.
Oh, I'm excited for just even for the Jamborees. I'm excited just to get out there and actually see two teams hit each other.
Yeah, as Lee Smith would say, get pumped.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk a lot of football, of course, here on Prep Rally. Just a reminder that we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. I'm Brad. That's Dalton over there on the other side of your radio. We're not on the radio.
No, we're not.
You know what I mean. I grew up when radios were actually something I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to the radio anymore. Dalton, let's just jump right into it. Football. Can't wait. You had a story the other day on Baldwin. Bearcats moving down to 1A for the first time ever in the modern playoff era. Been a 2A team for years. Been very good as a 2A team. Struggled last year. 3-8. Yeah, they finished, second in the division, went to the playoffs, but was not a typical Baldwin team. So moving down to 1A should help. And they've got some guys back, like Maddox Ritchie, the quarterback. And you went up there the other day and talked to him. So they got a pretty good optimistic vibe going on, don't they?
Yeah, they're looking forward to the move. And just from watching them, I can see why. Just the amount of kids they have and the size they have, the athleticism they have. I mean, they have 38 kids on a 1A team.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you have some teams, around the area that can barely field enough to have a team. You have some that have about 20 players, and then you got Baldwin over there with 38, and they have some really good size. I mean, there's a couple kids out there. There's a couple kids out there that are bigger than I am. There's, 6'4", 6'5". And there was one kid out there that was, 6'6", 400 pounds.
They must be bigger than last year, because last year when I saw them practicing, they did not look that big.
Oh, they've got some kids out there. Some of them are young. I think he said one of them was a freshman, one was a sophomore. They're just some large kids out there, and that's going to go a long way in 1A.
Yeah, yeah, and certainly they're in a winnable division. I think Biggersville will be the team to beat in that division. I know they lost a couple of key players, but I think they're still going to be pretty good. Myrtle, you don't know. They went 7-1 last year against a weak schedule, but curious to see how they do now that they're in a division and playing a tougher schedule there. But, otherwise, Baldwin, I think, has a chance to have a really good season.
Yeah, well, they went 0-6 last year in non-division, and it was all against, 4A, basically 4A, 3A, 5A opponents.
Yeah.
And, this year, instead of having to play six games against non-division opponents, they only play four since the 1A division schedule starts so early.
Yeah.
And so they scheduled, 4 3A teams. I think it's Kossuth, Boonville, Nettleton, and Belmont. So not quite the gauntlet that they've had in the previous years.
Still pretty tough, though.
Yeah, it is tough for sure, especially for a 1A team to play 4 3A teams. But I think Maddox Ritchie's kind of excited about that. If you look at his numbers from last year, once he got into division play, he was a completely different quarterback.
Yeah.
I think in three out of the four division games, he threw for completed over 60% of his passes when he didn't do that in any of the games beforehand. He threw 7 of his 9 touchdown passes last year in division play and then didn't throw an interception in, I think, 4 out of his last 6 games. So he turned into a completely different quarterback, and he's kind of hoping that he can bring this into this season, which, he's got a whole year starting under his belt. I don't see why he wouldn't.
And what they got at running back, they're typically good at running the ball.
I've got Kievert Ritchie back. He was there. I think he was the main guy last year. He was leading rusher last year. So he comes back, and then wide receiver, you know, they look pretty good. I know Gabe Richardson's going to be playing a little bit. I don't know his exact position. He might play the running back, some receiver. Jacoby Williams looked really good the other day. He was actually taking some quarterback snaps as well and looked pretty good. But he's just, you know, he's a freak athlete. You see him on the basketball court.
Yeah, he is.
He goes out there, and they've got some skill guys and some athletic guys out there.
Yeah, yeah, they do. So, yeah, I think Baldwin has a shot to have a really good year, moving down to 1A especially. Another 1A team to talk about, TCPS, Tupelo Christian, and I had a story on them in today's paper, specifically on Josh Berry, the junior tailback for the Eagles. Was having a really, really great season in 2018, was approaching 1,000 yards with a couple of games left in the regular season, and then against Faulkner, which was a career game for him, he had 243 yards in that game, 3 touchdowns. And then late in the third quarter, he playing defense. He was making a tackle and tore up his ACL in his left knee. And that ended his season. But he is back. I was out there Monday night at TCPS practice. He was running full speed. He's a shifty back, small, shifty, has good speed. And so he says he's 100%. He sure looked like it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a guy that can – that this offense really needs. I mean, they've got Kai Holiday back at quarterback, converted receiver, played the position very well last year. He's a dual threat kind of guy, and he seemed really in command of the offense in practice. I know it's practice, but you know, he was looked confident and looked like he knew what he's doing. And I think he does. He's the coach's son. Usually those guys are pretty good with the they have pretty good football IQ. And so they got those two. They got some other guys like John Avery Herod over there in offense, and they got some good players on defense like Justin Huggins. So, you know, I think TCPS will be really good this year. Now, they're in a division that's a lot tougher than Baldwin's. Mm-hmm. They're in 2-1A with Nanawaya and Noxapater and Oklahoma and Smithville and teams like that. So, you know, you can have a really good year and still miss the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for those teams in that division that have such a fantastic year and then end up, you know, not making the playoffs because they lost, you know.
Yeah.
It's just tough because, you know, there's a couple teams that might miss the playoffs in that division that, you know, would have made it in the other one.
Right, exactly, sure. Exactly. So if Berry can stay healthy, then, you know, I think TCPS does have a shot. They're looking to surprise some people this year. And they open next week against a 4A school, Tishomingo County, as I mentioned earlier. You know, Tishomingo is not traditionally a consistently good program, but they're a 4A school. They're going to have some big boys come in there. They're going to be bigger than TCPS. Now, TCPS will probably be faster, so it'll be that classic size versus speed matchup. And, you know, if they can get a win there, I think beating a 4A school will draw some notice from people. And this is actually the first time they've ever played a 4A program. Mm-hmm. So be a little bit of a milestone win if they can pull it off. So, again, that's the lone game next Thursday in the area is Tishomingo County at TCPS. And I think we're going to send you out to that one, Dalton.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. Sean Holiday was telling me about how excited he is since, you know, he's from Tish County. So
that's right, he is.
Gets to open up the season.
Of course, back then it was Iuka High School. Mm-hmm. That's how old Sean is. But anyway, yes. So look for my story there in today's journal, Wednesday. And Dalton's story on Baldwin was in Tuesday's.
Yep.
Yeah, so check that out or visit djournal.com. Okay, moving on to some more football stuff. As we mentioned, jamborees are this weekend, Dalton. So many jamborees. And we'll both be out at different ones. You're going to Amory, which is hosting Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be at Saltillo as it hosts Kossuth. And, you know, a lot of these jamborees are just two teams, and then others have multiple teams, like the Hatley Jamboree has Hatley Boonville, Itawamba AHS. The Oxford Jamboree, as it normally does, goes over the course of 2 days. Some of the teams in that jamboree include Houston, of course, Oxford, the host, North Pontotoc, Holly Springs, Ripley, and New Albany, which New Albany gets to play Water Valley, the reigning 3A champ. So that'll be a good test for the preseason. And you've got, let me see what else we got here. We got some other pretty cool matchups like Corinth at Horn Lake. Yeah, they're not messing around, Corinth.
No, Corinth, what do they got? They got Horn Lake. Then they play, of course, they play Tupelo. They play Shannon, who was, you know, division champs last year.
Yep.
They play Olive Branch, who's been so good the last few years.
Yeah.
They're not playing around with their schedule.
Well, they know they can be good this year, mm-hmm. and they should be really good this year. And once they get to division, I think they're going to be I would expect them to be peaking after playing that schedule, unless they're all beat up.
Yeah, so as long as they don't get too beat up and on injured, I mean, they'll be battle tested for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, they get to take on the reigning 6A state champ there in Horn Lake. Let's see, you got Lafayette at South Panola. That could be a fun one. Lafayette's going to be good this year, I believe. You've got Pontotoc hosting Choctaw County. You got Calhoun City at Vardaman. These games are all on Friday. There are also some jamborees on Saturday, including West Point hosting North Panola. We've got some of our teams at the New Hope Jamboree at East Mississippi Community College. East Webster is going to be there. East Union is going to be there. I mentioned the Oxford Jamboree is over the course of 2 days. And now some teams will not host jamborees or will not play in jamborees for various reasons. Maybe they'll have like an intra-squad scrimmage like Tishomingo County is doing. Alcorn Central, Belmont, Morville, Nettleton, Myrtle, Smithville, you know, several teams that, you know, just for whatever reason do not want to do that. They feel like they can get more accomplished by just having, you know, more practice.
Right.
Because it really is a short preseason. I don't guess it's shorter than usual, but it feels like it. And because it didn't start till the 5th sometimes. And, of course, the whole schedule's been pushed back a little bit because of the way things fall. But, yeah, I mean, you basically got 2 weeks and then it's game week.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we mentioned it on last week's podcast. It was like you have 5 days without pads, then you have, it seems like, 4 days with pads, and all of a sudden you're playing another team in Jamboree.
Yeah, so. And then it's game week, so not a whole lot of time. So anyway, if you want the full football Jamboree schedule involving area teams, we have that online. It's probably in the paper in the Agate, on the Agate page, on page 2 of the sports section. I should look at the Agate page. There it is. Looky there. Bam. We have all the teams accounted for, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if you don't see a team on that schedule, that means they're not doing a jamboree, as I said. So, Dalton and I will both be out on Friday covering jamborees. He'll be at Amory, and I will be at Saltillo. Guess what comes out Sunday, everybody? We've talked about it before. The football magazine, the football journal.
Mm-hmm.
Previews on 50 teams, players to watch.
Preseason rankings?
Preseason rankings for y'all to get mad about.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on Dalton. No.
I might make some people mad this year.
I had some input as well. That's okay. The season usually kind of works all that out as the games get played. And we'll have features on several players. I think the cover is going to be really nice. I've mentioned that before. So anyway, Lee Smith and John Pitts are hard at work trying to piece that together. Comes out this Sunday, the 18th, inside your daily journal. And I believe we'll be doing some kind of online presence like we did last year, which was really one of the coolest things we've ever done.
Really good.
Yeah. So I think Elizabeth Walters is spearheading that. So yeah, you'll get all the info you need to get ready for the upcoming season with the football journal. So be sure to check that out in Sunday's editions. Real quick, let's talk some volleyball, Dalton. We've got some new teams in the area, of course. We've talked about that. But a program that's been around for a few years, Pontotoc, I went out and caught them on Saturday. They hosted a tournament, not a tournament necessarily, but hosted a bunch of teams at an event, a season-opening event called the Pontotoc Classic. And I saw the Lady Warriors play, and they swept past Tishomingo County. And, you know, looked really good. And, you know, this is a team that's had struggled for a few years. I mean, I think this is their 9th season as a program. They've had some winning seasons, but for a couple of years there, they were kind of really down. Last year, they got better, went 13-13, and looking to build on that. Coach Andy McGregor really likes what she sees out of this team. As I said, they beat Tishomingo County 25-21 and 25-12. It's normally a best of five, but because of all the games they were playing that day, it was a best of three. But anyway, she's got a lot of experience back. One girl I was particularly impressed with was De'Asia Browner, who pretty much set the tone at the net, several blocks and kills, and she, you know, she's 5'7", which in volleyball terms is not that tall, but she plays above the net, like in basketball above the rim. She plays above the net. She's got a good vertical, so yeah, she's really good. They got some other good players, like, you know, Samaya Brooks, who's known for her basketball prowess. I can't believe she's still just a sophomore.
She does not look like a sophomore.
Yes, she does not look like a sophomore. Well, she can play a little volleyball as well. So, good start to the season for Pontotoc, and You can, like I said, I covered that that match there against Tishomingo County. That was on Saturday, so that's in Sunday's Journal if you want to go back and check it out, or at djournal.com. And we'll be covering more volleyball as the season goes on. We had Gene Phelps out at East Union Ingomar last night, a couple of first-year programs. I went out and checked out Shannon at Saltillo to do a little something on Shannon, which is has a new program under Cedric Caprim, the boys basketball coach, as well. Kind of fun to see all these programs getting started up. Let's do a shout out before we get out of here, Dalton. The Tupelo 49ers, American Legion baseball team, made a strong run at the regionals. Probably a little stronger than people expected, especially considering they only had 12 guys available. Mm-hmm. But they did well.
Yeah, they went down there. They got nicknamed the Dirty Dozen. You know? I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I think they ended up going 4-2. I think they played six games. Yeah. They only had eight pitchers, and they played in six games and almost won the thing. They only lost by, and I think, two runs in the championship game. So
yeah.
They they ended up at the end of the season just played so well. I think they lost to Pontotoc in like the second round of the state tournament.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was just something like switch flipped, and they just started just playing extremely well.
It's all coaching. It's all McKinley Holland.
He's the man.
Yeah, so congrats to Tupelo, the 49ers, with a great season and a great run there in the regionals. And that'll do it for this episode of Prep Rally. We thank you all for tuning in. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. And I'm on there at Brad Locke. And that's it. We'll be back next Wednesday. Oh, we'll be previewing some football games, Dalton. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't want to miss it. We'll see you then.